While we are speaking of the evils of capitalism.
Oh, boy.
Let's read a little story.
I forgot what the story is, but, you know, let's do it.
So if I messed up at all, I apologize. Whoever wrote this, some of the handwriting, can't read a few of the words, but yeah. I think someone here can help me out. This is a little story called White Knight by our own Johnny Capcom.
White Knight.
Jonathan Emmanuel Capcom. Let's say his book name.
I'll skip the opening letter. That was for me, but this is the story that was contained within. Mary had always managed to look both cute as a button and as fierce as a zebra. Seriously, have you ever seen a pissed off zebra? Let's just say, it's Vader time all the time.
I don't remember writing that.
Mary was studying English and philosophy at Janet Connolly University and was finding her existence quite pleasant. Her first year was a joy. She made friends quickly, and for the first time she felt like she was part of a community that shared her values. Her new friends encouraged her to follow her dreams and to make crazy choices with her new look. The burlap dresses and clogs of her hometown were soon discarded in favor of fresh threads. She also let her freak flag fly and took turns every month letting a friend pick out a new look, a new color of hair for her. She knew she looked hot now. The proof was in the pudding, and by pudding, I mean her vagina. And by proof, I mean the fingers of a dude that looked kind of like Johnny Depp in his prime that at that one barbecue in May. Seriously, he was so hot and didn't make her feel like a slut for letting him punch her pocket. She also knew she was hot because she had massive tits. 10 out of 10. Trust me, 5 stars from Meltzer. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is things were really good for her. The college campus was full of people who believed in causes that she cared about. Rights for working mothers of cats? Check. Banning Spawn comics from the library because they're too edgy? Check. Making pie free on Fridays to, oh, what is this? Making pies free on Friday to boister the struggle of Soviet female pilots in World War II? Double check, pal. But at the start of her third and final year of undergraduate studies, things started to darken on campus. All of a sudden, it seemed like darkness crept back into the corners of a world that was always bright. Shitty, toxic white males were everywhere. And they were here to Heil Hitler. According to a friend of hers, who had just crawled out of a K-hole at any rate.
Wow.
There was panic on campus as it was revealed that these bottom-feeding virgins had invited their personal Jesus, Alex Jones, to give a talk at their society. The Kristallnacht Memorial Monster Truck Dinner Party Rally Club.
Wow.
Mary, yeah, that was her name. And all her pals decided that this world would pass quietly. They would all end the talk. Oh, they would all go to the talk in mask and disavow the hate on campus, I think it says. Upon entering the audit, yeah, it's about, they're basically going to go protest Alex Jones. Yeah. Upon entering the auditorium, Mary and her pals were confronted by a confusing Musk. Brute and youth make a strange romantic bedfellows. The place was full of corrupt comb-overs and weird gray suits. You know the kind they wear like they're trying to be extras in a film about NASA in the 60s? Jones was already whipping the crowd into a frenzy. Oh, he managed to convince them that soap made male dogs turn into female cats overnight, and it was all part of Obama's plan to take his guns. Mary didn't know where to sit. There was a spot open next to a passive, well-dressed black man in the third row. She let herself think, it can't be as toxic as all the white males in attendance. She sat next to him. She was wrong. Jones was leading hard into a cell on vitamins made out of steel that he promised would help the crowd see the invisible Israeli nukes that took out Tower 7 when Mary's scattered compatriots started hurling abuse towards him. A proper shitstorm of screaming started. Seeking sanity, she turned to the man next to her and said, "This is really crazy, huh?" There was no reaction from the man. She repeated the same question a few times to no reaction. Eventually, without looking in her direction, the man said, "Can you please keep whatever noise you're making about periods or makeup you're making yourself? I'm here to listen to Mr. Jones, not some Thumbelina with 10 out of 10 yabos." Is that what it says?
It's Tumblerina.
Oh, a Tumblerina with 10 out of 10 jabs.
Yeah.
Mary sat in stunned silence for the rest of the evening. The man next to her was eventually welcomed on stage by Jones. He was Jared Allen, the head of KMMTDPRC, and his opinions were even more toxic than Alex's. And Alex was actually of the opinion that the toxic supplement was good for you. There was a rage building inside of Mary that she didn't know what to do with. Numb, she exited the building and sat outside. Her friends and enemies loudly passed her by. Eventually, the commotion had passed, and it was just Mary sitting outside the building. Then along came Alex and Jared, leaving together. She could hear Alex say, "It's great to see a street brother like you, Jared, out here fighting for a fairer America for all, including white people." That was the straw that broke the camel's cock. Mary let both Jones and Alex have it. Or Jones and Alan have it. "You're the two worst shitty people I've ever met. Alex, you're a straight white male, and I'd expect such evil from you. Your kind are the worst cunning and evil and stupid small-dicked beings on Earth. But you, Jared, you're a person of color. You're supposed to stand up with those facing oppression in our society to take down awful forces holding us back," she said without really taking Jared's agency into consideration.
That's satire.
Jared turned to Alex and started making sounds and imitating flapping mouth with his hand. Mary fumed. "Let me stop you, ma'am," said Jared. You claim I should stand with or for oppressed Americans. Well, if you open your eyes, you'll see that I'm standing with and for the most persecuted people in the world, patriotic American men who hold God and guns and trust corporations to look after our best interests." "You're the whitest man I ever met," shouted Mary. "And you," said Jared, dramatically pointing at Mary with his forefinger on the word "you." It was the last thing he'd ever say. Before he could finish his sentence, two bullets ripped through his head. The world slowed down for a minute. Hundreds of police officers were on the scene, each sending a fresh slug into Jared's corpse. Mary didn't know how long she was standing there or how many times the police officer had said, "Miss, are you okay? We saw a black man pointing at you, a white woman, and needed
to get
out." The police gathered around Jared's corpse, scattered, and ceased firing rounds into him as a tank had arrived at the scene to neutralize Jared once and for all. The treads of the tank rolled mercilessly over Jared's head, sending splinters of skull flying everywhere. Mary thought, "Oh God, it bursts like a watermelon." And that thought pushed her into a coma because she'd just seen a black man had assassinated by the police, and her immediate reaction was a racially sensitive visual analogy. Alex Jones was on his knees next to the stain that used to be his friend. He was frantically searching for a vitamin or supplement that would help his fallen brother. But they don't even sell those on, on prisonplanet.com or InfoWarsShop.com. It was several weeks before Mary came to. It was in the middle of the night. The room was dark, and the instruments monitoring her beat the silence away. A tall white figure Mary assumed to be her doctor stood in the corner of the room. "Finally awake," said a familiar voice. Mary struggled to respond and to comprehend what was going on. She couldn't move. The man moved to her bedside and stared down at her with cold, milky white eyes. His entire being was white, shimmery, and not altogether there. It was Jared, or rather, his ghost. Mary was frozen as he laughed at her from beyond the grave. Wow, he truly was the whitest man, the whitest thing ever. a right-wing ghost. And every night, for the rest of Mary's life, Jared would visit and haunt her. She never slept again as he talked all through the night about how women who wear shorter dresses are asking for it, and that the free market could be trusted to find the best healthcare solutions. The nightmare never ended. The end. A tale of warning, listeners. A tale of warning. The rest is just for me. So that's the end of our lovely tale, and how the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Well, a classic lesson. I had fun listening to that because I forgot a lot of them.
I know you said last week, you're like, I think I forgot a lot, so I can't wait to hear that.
And I think I did write it as well, knowing how you would read it.
Of course, that was great, dude. I really liked reading that. I hope everyone enjoyed The White Ghost by John E. Capcom.
White Ghost.
It's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant satire, John. It's amazing. I wish every white liberal could read it.
What's funny about it is that it literally, as I was writing it, it's the old school thing of, I'm going to just take a shot at everybody here. Like, I'm going to take shots at absolutely
everybody. That's the way to do it. That's what Carlin did. He took shots at everybody. Nobody was spared. Nothing is sacred, John. Even the things you love.
The joke that I think I started, I remember the joke that only came back to me now was where she goes, oh God, it burst like a watermelon. And she's like, oh God, that was racist.
And at one point as well, it puts her in a coma because she couldn't believe she was so racist.
But I wrote that well before all the police brutality nonsense in America.
And yet somehow it still works.
I wrote it, but, well, this is the thing. It's that joke that Sean used to tell in his stand-up where he did it. Because he did, on the Canon Cannon podcast, we had a thing where I asked Sean one time how American he felt watching American Ninja. And he said he felt like, what was it, a bald eagle flying through an active school shooting?
That was, wow.
He did that as a part of his stand-up set. And it got half a laugh and half a ooh. And he goes, I know what you're thinking. It's too soon. But let's face it, it's always going to be too soon. Because there's always going to be a fresh one.
Damn right. So beautiful, man. That story just gets me. I love it. It's like, hey, liberals, guess what? You're still afforded everything. And
I wanted to make fun of liberals in that. Because it's too easy to make fun of right-wing people. Because they're fucking morons.
Oh, yeah. Know?
This is the thing, like the Alex Jones vitamin thing. Like, I mean, that's not
funny.
Even,
as if there was a supplement for that.
It's not even fiction. It's just, I was just there going, oh, I'll just do what he actually does.
Yeah.
But it's
he is a character.
But that's it. There is that kind of like, as I said, the neo nuns of the world, the new piousness, the meta Maoists who are out in the world tripping over language and torturing themselves in their sleep over, you know, whether or not they appropriate that bagel they ate earlier on. It's, and I think it's
Wait,
ridiculous.
Did I buy the bagel from a Jewish guy? Shit! Yeah.
He didn't have the curly hair on his face.
Damn it! What are they called, Matt?
I have no idea. There is a name for them. I don't know what
it's Hasidic Jews.
Yeah, dude, it's that video you sent me of the extremist on the right is agreeing with the liberal. Only black people should shop. Black people should only shop at black businesses. Like that. That was one of those things I looked at and I went, if I posted this and said this is funny and true, I'd lose 100 friends.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Oh yeah, and this is
the
thing.
You
like,
can't tell the truth, Keith.
No,
that's
you can't.
Attacking people.
That's how you get. That's how people don't like you.
It's our business to make fun of stupid things, you know, and that's what the world is supposed. That's what you're supposed to do in the world, you know. And this is the thing. Like the ideas, the extreme ideas that people carry around these days, are not fit for publication with using excrement on the side of a bathroom wall. All right. And as I said, people trip over they trip over commas in their minds now because it's this constant self-monitoring. Like I was only thinking the other day, I was going, remember like in the early 2000s and the late 90s when
all the hubbub and furor was, hey, you're the media companies, hey, Mr. Newspaper Man and Mr. Advertiser, you're presenting a fucking unrealistic depiction of women, all right? And you're putting all these models on magazine covers and shampoo bottles and cat litter boxes or whatever, like pictures of people were on, all right? And then all the marketing companies and newspaper people and media executives and movie producers and all that started changing, and they'd put fat people on boxes and stuff, all right? And then, all right, once all the media had stopped the mass distribution of pictures of women out ribs, then what happened was all the women started to self-generate that content using filters on Instagram. And it's like going, now there's no fingers can be pointed because the finger is pointing at a self-facing camera. Because it's mass generated now.
Yep, you're doing exactly what they wanted you to do.
Yeah, you're like no longer
were against it, and now you're using it.
You're doing it for them.
It's
so they can sell you shit.
Yeah, so your friends and your relatives can look. Oh, why don't I look as good as them?
But guys, sold more shit. I'm getting clout and stuff from this. That's
just an episode on body issues on Baggage Claim the other week, and I wish we could have gotten a dude on because it would have been really great to have just a guy's perspective once in a while since all three women whinging.
I love women, so anytime you need me on to talk about women, I'm there. Yeah. I love them.
Okay,
so.
But
I'm a total feminist now. I'm a total feminist.
And the fact that people, like, all these kids now, all these, like, kids like 8 and 9 years old who are already dieting and trying to like live up to these images online that are impossible because they are Snapchat filters.
Yep. It's, and their friends are using them too, and their friends look better than they should.
I'm so glad I got away with the internet like not being this mass.
Not being visual. I liked it when it was words.
Not being mass like
yeah,
you capitalized
it used to take half an hour.
Where, like,
to download a JPEG of the British Bulldog.
Yeah,
yeah. Or it's like, you know, the dial-up is slowly loading this 200K JPEG.
Oh, I need this naked
edit of 7
of 9. Kids
are cool enough without having Facebooks and Instagrams, and it's too much. It was bad enough being bullied in school or, you know, being made to feel like that in school. Like,
I can't even imagine.
And parents just don't care, so they let their kids have Instagrams and they let them have Snapchats.
I've said it before.
And there's no monitoring of this on
specifically
screen.
If I had a daughter, I would sign a contract with her when she was a child, and I'd say, I will give you X amount of money for every year you stay off social media. And by the time that's what I do, I'd be like, I'll put like 200 quid a year into an account for you, and if you make it to 25, you're gonna have this much money to do whatever the fuck you want. You can go to fucking Mexico, you can go to fucking, I don't know, buy a car, you can do whatever you like with it. And that would be like
college, whatever.
It wouldn't work. Like, here's
the
thing.
Oh, yeah. No, but here's the thing, Matt, right? If she failed and she did, and she went and got a social media account, well, I would take the money. I go to the fucking Tokyo Dome, all right? Like, so it's win-win. I either get a fucking mentally healthy daughter who has a good idea of herself and, you know, isn't a victim of this fucking unconscious mass self-loathing, or... I gotta go see fucking Tanahashi and Naito! So, like, you know.